Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into day two of the Sabres Prospects Challenge here at Harbor Center in downtown Buffalo. As after a 3-0 win yesterday for the Sabres over the New Jersey Devils prospects, the Sabres will play in their final game of the tournament this weekend as they get ready to face the prospects of the Boston Bruins. Welcome in, everybody. Brayton Wilson here with you once again as we're going to get set to have a little bit of a nice discussion with the Sabres roundtable that we're going to have coming up in just a second as Brian Koziel and Paul Hamilton join me here. Hello, gentlemen. How are you on this afternoon?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, thanks.
Great to be here, Brayton.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I mean, yesterday was great to be back and getting a chance to see live hockey once again as the Sabres actually put up a decent performance. As, again, we're not going to see all the top prospects from these teams. However, we did get to see a number of good prospects, including Jack Quinn, Ukko Pekkalukkonen. We saw J.J. Paterka. We saw Arttu Ruotsalainen in action. And today, the action's going to be a little different as there's going to be a few of the notable prospects that were playing in yesterday's game not on the ice this afternoon. Paul, can you have more details with that?
Yeah, we won't see. Well, Luukkonen, we knew. Usually the goaltender only gets one game, and that's what's happening with Luukkonen. So we knew that, but as far as Jack Quinn, he's not playing. Samuelson's not playing. We don't know yet if it's with injury or just they don't want to risk injury and they want them ready for camp and it's just a healthy scrap. So we'll see. I don't know if we'll know beforehand if they're healthy scratches, but I'm sure we'll know afterwards when we talk to Appert.
I was impressed with one of those names yesterday. I thought Mattias Samuelson usually used his size quite a bit yesterday to enforce the play and kind of get things going from the back end up front. Overall, you know, I think the interesting storylines going into the regular season is going to be can Ukko Pekkalukkonen be the number one guy in goal? I think it sets up roster-wise that he's going to get every opportunity to try to win this job with the NHL club. So yesterday, what could he do? Well, the best you could do is shut him out. He did that, understanding that we know this wasn't New Jersey's NHL lineup, Brayton, but I mean, all you could have asked for him was to do is to play great and maybe shut him out. And he did all that. So, you know, I think, you know, for as much as there was expectations on what you could see of him against a prospect lineup, I think he came through with flying colors.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Mattias Samuelson, as Paul mentioned, he will not play today. He took a shot to the leg, a slap shot to the foot area yesterday late in the third period as Buffalo was trying to preserve the shutout for Ukko Pekkalukkonen. Samuelson walked off the ice and went down the tunnel. However, a few moments later, he was able to walk back onto the ice, take a lap around, make sure he was okay. I don't think he took another shift afterwards. He sat on the bench right afterwards. I know Paul's trying to recollect and try to remember.
I don't remember seeing him either.
But certainly it's something to monitor here, especially with training camp set to begin later on, coming up on a Wednesday, as the players will at least report to training camp on Wednesday with the first practice coming Thursday, as usually goes with training camp. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the discussions that we're going to have starting off with our roundtable here today, is surrounding the goaltender situation. Actually, it's the first thing I have written down here on my nice little chart of questions and topics that we wanted to talk about was Ukko Pekkalukkonen. Of course, 22 saves last night as he earns the shutout. And Paul and I were kind of discussing this a little bit. not sure if we've seen any goaltenders in this tournament ever really have a shutout. I mean, they've had this tournament, Paul, now what, for 4 or 5 years? And every year it seems like there's a lot of scoring. And yesterday was actually one of the lower scoring games, and Luukkonen earns himself a shutout. But the first thing that I'll bring up here with you guys, and actually Paul's going to step aside here because he's actually going to go take care of an interview that we are going to hopefully have for intermission coming up. But Brian, I'll ask you this question here as we'll get the roundtable started right now. And you alluded to it. And what are your thoughts here? Is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen going to earn the starting job with the Sabres this year, given the circumstance that he's only working with Craig Anderson, who is a veteran, experienced guy, but he's 40 and he was a taxi squad goalie last year with Washington Capitals, and you're second goaltender that's in the competition, along with Luukkonen and Anderson, or your third guy technically, is Aaron Dell, who only spent a little bit of time with the New Jersey Devils last year and served mainly as a backup. So, question is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen going to be the starting goaltender come game one of the season?
Well, I guess I would say that I hope so, because the Sabres for years now, it feels like they've put all their eggs in this UPL basket. Even during the time that we've seen Linus Ullmark play well, and have the discussion whether or not he's a number one goalie or not, there's always been the signs of, well, they have their eyes on UPL. They have their eyes on UPL. And, I mean, let's face it, they've gone through rotation here of a few veterans, even going back through into the tank seasons, and Robin Lehner and some other guys. You know, and maybe over the last decade we might sit here and think that maybe, you know, post-Ryan Miller era, Robin Lehner maybe has been the best Sabre goaltender to play for this organization. But now that you move on from Linus Ullmark, he gets a big contract from the Bruins, which – I'm fine with them not matching if they feel that UPL is ready to go. Mm-hmm. And we got a short, small taste of it last year with him playing in front of, I think, a very, very poor team. And I thought he handled himself quite nicely. Yes, you know, the injury at the end is unfortunate, but there's nothing you can do about that. I think that he showed enough that I'm intrigued very much that on ice, to me, it's definitely the number one storyline. We know that Jack Eichel is going to be talked about ad nauseum when training camp starts. But on the ice and, you know, lineup news and all that sort of stuff, to me, does UPL look like the guy that can be the number one goalie? Like, that to me is the number one story on the ice.
Yeah, and certainly when you look at it, I think Kevin Adams has set this situation up to favor Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen from day one of training camp going forward. Pretty much all it is going to be at this point is how well is Luukkonen going to handle the pressures? How well is he going to handle the NHL style of play in the preseason? Granted, you're not going to see every star player when you play in the preseason. You might get a handful one game and then a handful another game. But certainly the way that it's setting up right now with the way that the goaltending room is constructed here in Buffalo, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to get every chance to get that number one spot. It is almost a situation where it's almost his spot to lose at this point. And I know that that seems like it's putting a lot of pressure on him right away. But how confident are you going to be if Craig Anderson is your number one goaltender heading into the upcoming season? Again, he's 40 years old, if not a little older than that. He's a guy that's been around for years. He's very experienced. He's been in several different places. But he's aging. He's an older-style goaltender. And then you have Aaron Dell, who's never really had the workload at the NHL level of being a starting goaltender. So you look at the room and you look at the situation, and you almost can't help but think that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is in the best spot right now to win that number one job and go forward as the starting goaltender here in Buffalo.
I would agree. And here's when you mentioned Anderson, you mentioned Dell. What do you want to have surrounding UPL if he's going to be the number one goalie? Well, first of all, you'd love to have a veteran number two goalie that can really kind of groom him, be a role model, tell him what it's really like to play in the NHL. Craig Anderson has that resume for you. Everything that we're hearing in terms of him being a leader, a locker room guy, a guy that works well with younger players from his experience with other NHL clubs,
yep.
Anderson fits that mold. So, in terms of what Anderson can bring, you have that. You also know there's not going to be any ego with Craig Anderson if he just ends up playing half the games, a third of the games, a quarter of the games, depending upon how Luukkonen ends up looking and how Don Granato ends up using him from here to here. So you don't have to worry about that aspect either. Like, well, do we have an unhappy goalie who's not playing. I know that was always something with Carter Hutton that we always thought about, like, hey, you're going to lose him or whatever. You know, Carter Hutton, I thought, handled himself very professionally. But let's face it, anytime you have a veteran backup who's played in the league with a young guy in front, there's always maybe that possible dynamic of playing time, and I don't sense that'll be there with Anderson. Now, with Dell, you have flexibility. The fact that you can send him up and down, he's got the two-way contract.
Yep.
That works nicely. So if UPL maybe does struggle and you want to give him a few weeks back with the Amerks to maybe gain confidence back or play at a higher level in terms of the amount of quantity of games, maybe you decide, look, he's not ready to play two out of three games or three out of four games in the NHL. He can do that down in the AHL. So,
right.
Yes, on paper, it doesn't look pretty with Anderson and Dell, but I think they fit in nicely with UPL succeeding. You've got the veteran. You've got the flexibility with Dell to go up and down. UPL can kind of fit in as much or as little as you want. And let's face it here, too. We know that this team isn't built this season to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
So if UPL does have ups and downs throughout the year, I mean, in the standings, probably there's not going to be many sitting here calling for Don Granato's head or Kevin Adams' head because of the goaltending play, because the team's just not going to be set up to compete for a Stanley Cup right now.
Let me just bring this up to you, Brian. This was from Frank Saravalli a day or two, maybe 2 days ago, but he sent out a tweet as there's some talk right now around the NHL being concerned about goaltenders and what happens if there is an injury or an illness. One of them gets COVID-19, because COVID-19 still is a realistic possibility, and no matter where you are, it doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball, or hockey. But there's some discussions right now that there could be a taxi squad goaltender heading into the season. So again, like last year, with the original taxi squad, you had some of the practice, you know, you had some of the guys that could be in the AHL up the NHL, but practicing on their own, not practicing with the rest of the team. This could be a situation again where instead of having those other players, you just have a taxi squad that's just for goalies. So you may have overall three goaltenders here, and that might set up a situation where, okay, even if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is not going to be the starter, or let's just say the Sabres want to let him continue to kind of grow and blossom behind the scenes, he could be that taxi squad goaltender and kind of like watch and learn behind Anderson, behind Dell, and get more comfortable at the NHL level and get more used to the NHL routine, whether it is, you know, being part of game day routines or, you know, going on trips with the team. So this is another little situation that might make things a little interesting, is that if there's this possibility of a taxi squad goaltender, that likely means that the three goaltenders that we have in training camp here are going to be in Buffalo regardless for the season.
Yeah, I think if the league was asking my opinion on this, I would tell them to have a third goalie.
Yeah.
Why deal with travel restrictions and call-ups from your AHL team or your minor league team, or have even maybe the worst-case scenario of what we saw happen with the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes game from 2 years ago, right, where we had the Zamboni driver coming off and playing? Like, there's no need for that. There's a taxi squad setup that worked well last year. We know COVID, we hope, is lessening and dissipating everywhere throughout the country, but let's face it, it still may be around. It's going to be a part of this hockey season.
Sure.
They're going to be testing. Players may get it. And to have that flexibility to have a third goaltender, I think, is great. It also can, for the Sabres' sake, allow them to be flexible in terms of what they do with Lukanen's development. You're right. They can go ahead and play two other players instead of one. So I think if that ends up being the case, it's a win for the Sabres, maybe even more so than other teams where they maybe have an established 1-2 punch in net.
That's Brian Koziel. He is the Sabres in-game host for WGR along the Sabres radio network during the preseason, regular season, and including the playoffs, whenever the playoffs come back for the Sabres. But I am Brayton Wilson here. We'll hear from Paul Hamilton once again on this roundtable coming up shortly. He had to go down towards the locker room area, take care of some media business that maybe we'll hear in the first or second intermission, depending. But we're going to continue on with the roundtable here, and we'll stick with this prospects challenge and some of the more notable prospects, Brian. Yesterday, we got to see Jack Quinn playing down the middle at center. Now, he was drafted with the thought that, you know, yes, he's a winger. Yes, he can play, you know, he can drive play from the wing. However, the Sabres, when they drafted him, said there's the opportunity for him to be able to be a center. Maybe they can get him working on faceoffs and get more comfortable down the middle. And if he can continue to show that he can drive play and do everything that you want from a center at the NHL, you know, then maybe there's an opportunity that the Sabres might have just struck gold by finding a guy that, okay, if it doesn't work at center, you can throw him on the wing, or if you need a guy in a pinch that can jump in and you know, cover for, say, Dylan Cousins or Casey Mittelstadt down the middle. Boom, you've got Jack Quinn ready to go right there. How do you think that the transition to center is going to play out for a guy like Quinn, who's, you know, we still don't necessarily know how that – I mean, what his situation is heading into this season. We don't know exactly if he can go back to Rochester or if he has to go back to the OHL, but maybe the plan for going forward is to get him down the middle working more and trying to get that part of his game down even more, so then maybe come next year, Jack Quinn's competing for a spot right away.
Yeah, what it does is, by him being at center and the ability to play wing, is it gives them flexibility. We saw this last year with Sam Reinhart. They were able to maneuver the lineup going back and forth, and we know Reinhart obviously played very well when he made that transition back and forth, and you'd hope maybe that that ends up being the same way with Quinn. I mean, going to center, of course, it adds responsibility, including before the pucks even dropped with faceoffs. He did a nice job with those yesterday, I thought, overall, but man, a couple of the times him going toward the net to make some real nice plays down the middle, I thought it was really, really impressive. He's not going to play today, as Paul mentioned off the top.
Right.
And, you know, I'd like to think that I would agree with Paul that it's just for precautionary reasons. No reason to put him out there in harm's way, get him ready and rested and ready to go for next week's training camp.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're not going to see him again tonight. But yesterday, from what I saw, I thought he looked very confident down the middle. He looked very strong in his game. And you know, again, he ends up getting a secondary assist on a power play. But still, even then, I felt that playing on a line with Paterka, playing on a line with Brent Murray, he seemed to feel comfortable down the middle there. So, I mean, again, it's a prospects challenge. It is against people of mostly his age group. And, you know, once he gets to the NHL, once he gets to training camp and he tries down the middle, maybe it looks different, maybe it doesn't work, and you say, all right, he has to go back down on the wing. But certainly just the early sights and the early viewings of Jack Quinn seem promising for him to potentially, you know what? Okay, maybe center will work out for Jack Quinn. And, you know, Paul brought this up yesterday when I was chatting with him. You never know how that draft class is going to turn out in the end, because there's still so many people that bring up the, oh, well, you passed on his teammate, Marco Rossi. You could have had him. You could have had Cole Perfetti later on in the draft. You could have had this player, could have had that player. It is still way too early to tell, and judging by what, you know, I've seen at least from Jack Quinn last year, he took a little bit to get acclimated to the AHL level. Was he ready for the AHL? I definitely don't think he was, but going into this season, I think he knows exactly what to expect going back to the AHL, if he goes back to the AHL. I want to bring it up with Paul and see if he can give me some clarification on that, but if he's playing in the AHL this upcoming season, he knows what to expect now. Then he can really develop and grow his game even further, get himself that much more ready to jump into the NHL at any point, whether it's later this year or the beginning of next year or partway through next year. But certainly there's a lot of promise that, that you know, we're starting to see from this young kid, just, you know, with all the circumstances from last year.
Yeah, projecting what 18-year-olds can do is very, very difficult.
Very.
I mean, they all develop differently. I mean,
right.
Look at Casey Mittelstadt's just up and down, you know, 3-4 years out of being drafted. I mean, we thought this kid, after watching him in the World Juniors right across the street at KeyBank Center, was going to come in and light the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're all sitting here saying, uh-oh, maybe he left Minnesota too early. Oh, then we're hearing, you know, man, is he committed because he can't do a pull-up? You know, all these sort of silly things that we hear all the time. But, like, there was a long time where I was sitting there thinking, like, well, he's doing okay with the Amerks.
Right.
Maybe he's just going to be an AHL player. And then he comes up last year and under Don Granato looks more like an NHL player again. So, I mean, that's just one example to be able to say, well, what's Jack Quinn going to do 3-4 years from now? Like, it's literally impossible to try and actually nail it down. Can we speculate and have fun with it? For sure. But, I mean, be able to say at age 18, when you're drafting at pick 7, 8, 9, like, to distinguish between three forwards that clearly one is better than the other, like, that's not what I think that draft is all about. You're just hoping to play the percentages. Can you draft a player that maybe fits your team's style a little more one way or the other? For sure, maybe at a certain position. But for Quinn, who's definitely going to be flexible in terms of maybe playing center or wing, I think the Sabres made the right move. And I know Paul is just coming back up here with and confirming of what we thought here today, that Quinn would be a healthy scratch. So
right, yeah. No new injury for Jack Quinn. Mattias Samuelsson, the team says, out with a lower body injury.
Right.
And kind of what we expected. He blocked that shot, and he didn't take another shift afterwards. But, Paul, I'm not sure if you've gotten any clarification on Jack Quinn's future heading into this season. Is he bound for Rochester, per se, or is there the chance that he has to go back to the OHL, given...
No, he doesn't have to. They've changed that, I think, because of COVID.
Okay.
But, yeah, he doesn't have to, and I think he is going to wind up in Rochester.
I would think so, too,
I don't think we can say that for sure yet. I don't think they've said it for sure. They probably don't want to say it for sure. They want to go through training camp. But, yeah, I would be pretty surprised if he wasn't there.
Do you think Eichel being on the roster or not being on the roster could change that or no?
No, it depends on him. It depends on how he performs and how he plays. I don't think that has anything to do at all with Jack Eichel.
All right. So, well, Brian just brought up Jack Eichel, so we might as well get the Jack Eichel discussion before we take a break here, because I know we're probably going to take some time to talk about the Jack Eichel situation. Of course, we still have zero idea as to what exactly his future brings. It seems like surgery is the option here, but we don't know if he's going to be allowed to get the artificial disc replacement, which he wants, or if the team is going to force him into the fusion surgery. And the differences in recovery for both of those surgeries is quite extensive. One's maybe up to 6 weeks, the earliest he could get back to team activities, whereas the other one, he has to be out a minimum of 6 months in order for the disc and everything to fuse. And then after that, there's still a lot of unknown questions. So, gentlemen, what exactly is next here for Jack Eichel? And do you see him playing in a Sabres jersey at all this year? Do you see him playing at all in a Sabres jersey ever again? Thoughts?
Never again. I'm going by what was said on the podcast, on Elliot Friedman's podcast.
Yeah, the 31 Thoughts podcast.
Where the doctor said he needs a surgery. He can't play the way he is now.
Yes.
But that was also 2 months ago. You know, that was a while back. But I'm just going by what his doctor said. I don't know if anything's changed. I don't know if he switched doctors.
Right.
You know, I don't know any of that information, but that's what it was back then, that he would need either what. And that's when the doctor said, it's not that the Sabre surgery is a bad surgery. He goes, it's good for some people. It's not what I would recommend for Jack, though.
Right.
It's not good for him.
Yeah.
So he's saying either way, you're getting a decent surgery. So it's not like the Sabre's option is a bad surgery, but he felt that Eichel would need another surgery like 10 or so years down the road if he gets that, and he just felt that's not good for a guy Eichel's age.
Eichel himself, him playing here again on the ice, I doubt it. I've got to think, even if they deem him to be healthy, then he'll just, you know, kind of play the card of, look, you got to trade me, I'm going to refuse to show up and play, that sort of thing. Eichel's leadership hasn't been, I think, great over the last year or so either. So why would you all of a sudden expect him to say, you know what, I'm going to take the high road here, and even though I totally want out of here, I'm going to show up and play and be a good soldier going forward. I just don't see it.
How much of an effect does the agency change? He went from Peter Fish and Peter Dottatelli over to Pat Brisson, and Pat Brisson is maybe one of the most well-respected agents in the entire NHL. How much could that change Eichel's opinions as to his approach with trying to get himself moved out? Could he easily, you know, could he even bring up, or Pat Brisson maybe convince Jack Eichel, well, hey, you know, after the surgery, no matter what happens, maybe depending on your recovery time period, it would be best for you to go back on the ice, report to the team, get your trade value back to where it needs to be so it would make it easier for you to move. How much do you think that has a difference, Paul, if any?
I think the agent does make a difference, definitely. Even from a trade standpoint, he can go, I'm just going to use the Kings as an example.
Mm-hmm.
He could go to the Kings and say, all right, look, the Sabres are asking for your top two prospects. They're asking for four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
All right, would you be willing to give them Byfield? Give them your best prospect and a pick. Give them your best prospect in number one. I'll go back and see if Adams will lower his ask. That, all right, you're getting the best prospects that some people have rated the best prospect right now in the NHL.
Yep.
You're getting that, and you're getting a number one pick. You're not getting four pieces, but you're finally getting that prospect that you're looking for. Would you agree to that?
Yeah.
That's where the agent can come in and try to get guys off their staunch stances that they've been on and try to move it that way. So that's just an example where one of the best agents there is can really come in and make a difference, I think, in that type of a bargaining type of agreement.
I thought Eichel's old representation did a poor job going out in the public, trying to almost, like, bully the Sabres.
Yeah.
And Kevin Adams was like, whoa, like, we control the cards here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but Jack Eichel knew everything that was going on, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, he might have gotten some bad advice and went forward with it. At some point, though, Paul, I mean, the agent and Eichel both have to agree with, hey, we're going to go forward with this statement. He's not going to do it on his own without his blessing. So they're both to blame. But now Eichel may be having different discussions. Hey, this is a different approach. This is how we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Look, the Sabres aren't just going to give you away. So if we want this to happen sooner than later, and obviously I think we're all in agreement, the sooner the better it happens is the better for any organization, not only the Sabres, but the organization is going to obtain Eichel, because then they can figure out, you know, the surgery method of what's going to happen going forward for him. So
yeah.
I just think that the approach of how you do it kind of came out as if to say, like, hey, like, we want out of here. And Kevin Adams, like, how come it hasn't happened already? Like,
yeah.
I just thought that was handled very poorly.
Yeah, and I'll say this before we move on real quick. But, you know, if Jack Eichel really wants out and the trade. But the trade value right now is not even close to where the Sabres need it to be in order to give the okay to say, all right, let's make this deal. Let's make it move forward. Let's get this process going. I think that if Eichel gets this surgery, whatever surgery it is, by the time that he's recovered and by the time he's ready to go, I think it would – I mean, if the Sabres want to get it, they might discuss something with Pat Brisson, Jack Eichel's agent. I'm not sure how exactly this will work, but maybe there's some sort of way that they can say, get back on the ice, go play 15, 20 games, go really prove your worth, go show everybody, hey, you're 100%, you're ready to go. You want to acquire me? You get what you get. You just saw me go out there and produce. I think that's really, at this point, the only way that the Sabres are going to get the full value in a Jack Eichel trade. And I know that, because I've had people ask me, just like, what's going to happen with Jack Eichel? It's just like, well, I really don't know. I don't know if he's going to play again. It's unlikely he's ever going to play in a Sabres uniform again. But I think if the Sabres are going to get the best value, and I think if any team is going to want to get Eichel out of Buffalo sooner rather than later, maybe the best thing would be is to advise Eichel, hey, go back out there and play again. Get another 15, 20 games and prove to everybody you're 100%. And then at that point, teams will come flocking. They'll come flying in. They'll give Buffalo the offer that they need in order to trade you away. And then everybody's happy again, and hopefully then you move on, you go into the new chapter of everything, Jack Eichel gets a new chapter, the Sabres get a new chapter, and everyone moves on and everything kind of progresses forward.
That could be Eichel's thought or his agent's thought.
Sure.
But it may not be what the Sabres want.
Right.
They want Jack Eichel wearing the C, coming out here to, quote, prove his worth, when he would be the story every single night in a negative fashion toward his organization. Look, essentially, you're using the Sabre uniform as an open tryout. That's essentially what Eichel's doing here. Look at me here. I'm healthy. Like, I don't know if the Sabres want to be used in that manner, even though it might make sense to Eichel's camp.
And Brisson can also help with that, too. He can make another team comfortable with the medical information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can, because Eichel would give him permission to share the medical. So, all right, this is what the medical says. This is what we're doing. This is what, you know, it's not going to be as bad as maybe you think it is. If you'd like to talk to Dr. A, you can talk to Dr. A. We want to make you feel better about Jack and what's happening with Jack.
Chris Baker just texted me, by the way, and he said that Jack Quinn is AHL-eligible already. So nothing to worry about. He can go to Rochester. And
I knew he could. It's just a question, right, you know, whether he would.
Right.
And I think he would, yes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I'm almost positive.
Very good. Very good. All right. We got to take a timeout. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on with the Sabres roundtable discussion, because I've got a whole list of things here that we got to talk about, at least get to as much as we can, and I've gotten to like three questions already. So we'll come back, we'll step aside, and we'll kind of go through rapid fire with some of these questions here. You're listening to the Sabres Prospects Challenge coverage here on WGR as the Sabres getting ready to face the Boston Bruins, a 3 o'clock faceoff today right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back here once again as we're covering the Sabres Prospects Challenge on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sabres getting ready to face the Bruins. Coming up in about 30 minutes here down at KeyBank Rink at Harbor Center. Brayton Wilson here with you. I'm joined by Paul Hamilton and Brian Koziels. We're conducting our Sabres Roundtable ahead of this afternoon's game here as the Sabres are not going to go with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in goal. Luukkonen is going to be not even dressed, I believe. I don't see him out there.
No, he's not dressed.
He's not dressed. Jack Quinn's not dressed. Mattias Samuelsson's not dressed. Quinn being a healthy scratch. So we'll get you more details of the game and the lineups coming up in a little bit. But we're going to continue on with the roundtable. And, gentlemen, another big question heading into the season here so far is the contract situation with Rasmus Dahlin. Now, it doesn't seem like that there's any sort of butting heads between both sides, but it's a little unique that neither side has come to terms on a deal yet. Nothing's done with training camp just starting in a few days here. So, what do you think's happening here with the Sabres and Dahlin's camp? Is it that they're trying to maybe work out a longer-term deal? Is they trying to go with a bridge deal for Dahlin? How do you see that playing out?
Well, one side might want the long-term deal, and the other side might want the bridge deal.
Right.
And that might be it right there. They're trying to decide which one to go, and that could be the stumbling point right there. I don't know that as fact, but that seems like it could be. Because Dahlin's camp would be, you know what, he could be better.
Right.
Before we do a long-term deal, we might want to see him be at play like the number one overall pick.
Yep.
Which he got better last year. So before they might think we want a short-term deal, maybe a two-year deal, because we believe in our clients and we believe he's going to be great. And then we want the long-term deal when he can get $10 million a year instead of $6.5 or $7 million, or what defensemen got this year. He might be an $8 million guy right now,
even though that's
not – I'd peg him like at $6.5 now, but that's not realistic. If Darnell Nurse is getting over $9
million. Yeah, that's insane.
That's insane.
Well,
so
I was going to say I'm in agreement with you that from the Sabres organization standpoint, you'd want to sign him long-term. I think you've seen enough – to know that you're willing to commit to him long-term. I think that he fits exactly what your a style of player that you're going to be looking for playing the blue line. And you might in a year or two, if he does progress, you might look at his contract as a bargain. I mean, we've even seen, to look at probably what contracts do we talk about more
Nathan
than anything?
Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah. Even like quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
Like Mahomes and Allen in a year or two, if they keep playing the way they are, with the way the salary cap goes up, it might end up working out for these teams and they end up looking like they're bargains. The NHL now with a new television contract, with TNT and ESPN, we know the cap's going to be going up. The Sabres have the cap room now. Maybe you can front load it now while this team doesn't have a lot of big salary.
You brought up Josh Allen. I have to bring this up. I have to. I figured this out. If he was being paid on a weekly basis, he would be making
just under what you make to cover
over $870,000 per week.
Jeez. My goodness.
I had to interject that.
That's fine.
My fun with
That's
numbers.
Depressing.
My fun with numbers. I had to interject that.
That's good.
I think a lot of people would rather feel the comfort level of having a guy like Dahlin under contract, but Paul's point is a very good point. His agency may say, well, hold on here.
We want to get him more money, you know, a couple of years down the road. So let's just sign a two-year deal right now. Let's get him, you know, $7 million, let's just say, $7.5 million per year. And in 2 years, he puts up great production. Then, you know, we want to let him get more money. We want to be able to allow him to earn more money with the Sabres. But
the Sabres, if they say, all right, we'll give you a two-year deal, might only give him like $5.5 million.
Sure, sure. And that's where things get a little itchy and scratchy a little bit with that situation.
And there are a lot of restricted free agents around the NHL still looking for contracts.
Sure.
In Ottawa.
Yeah.
Brady Tkachuk, is one of them. And, you know, you just have to think back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Nylander, what that turned into.
Yeah.
What's our discussion, Paul, if the Sabres don't make that coaching change and Ralph Kruger finishes the year and we see the same Rasmus Dahlin that we saw for the first month of the season? I mean, I'm arguing something totally different then. I'd be like, I'm not committing anything to this guy. You know, he's digressed. He hasn't shown us anything. He's gotten worse. When instead the coaching change happened,
yep.
Don Granato saw the strengths of Rasmus Dahlin that we all at least – had seen from time to time. It just wasn't consistent. And then, you know, we saw some of Darlene's best stuff, his grade A stuff there in the second half of last year after the coaching change. And you're like, yes, that's the player that, you know, the Sabres organization obviously were hoping to see on a consistent basis when they drafted him first overall.
We're here at the Sabres Prospects Challenge at Harbor Center. The Sabres are getting ready to face the Boston Bruins. A 3 o'clock faceoff right here on WGR. Paul, Brian and myself will have the play-by-play action of all the action right here on WGR. Another young, prominent player the Sabres are going to be having going into another season this upcoming year is Dylan Cousins. Last year, we saw Cousins right off the bat get off to a fairly decent start. Ralph Kruger had him going, and he was mainly playing on the wing. Then when Don Granato came in, he made the move over to center, and the production kind of dropped off a little bit for Cousins, maybe more being
he scored in his last 18 games.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was a stretch where he didn't score for quite some time, but, you know, he was still putting in the work, still putting in the effort. It's just he seemed very snake-bitten towards the end of the season.
That bothered him a lot, not scoring.
Absolutely.
And not contributing.
Absolutely.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, that kid, I love his attitude. I love his leadership. I love what he brings. I mean, I've said it so many times, and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
He's the future face. And captain of the Buffalo Sabres. Even if you don't want to make it this year, all right, don't go with a captain this year and make it next year.
So with that, Paul, how much growth do you think we're going to see from Cousins in his second full season? And this will be technically his first full season in the NHL with going back to an 82-game schedule.
I think a lot. Knowing him, he put in a lot of work. Well, I know he did. I talked to him. He put in a lot of work in the offseason to work on the things that he thought necessary. He has a lot of confidence in his leadership ability. Mm-hmm. He wants it.
I don't know if he even told you directly, but I'm sure he probably was thinking about conditioning too, with how he kind of sputtered down the stretch last year.
Yeah, everything. He wants to be stronger in many areas of the game, getting his shot off quicker, shooting, so he can score the goals and not go into those slumps.
Yep.
You know, understanding that he doesn't have a lot of time in the NHL to mess around with the puck. You got to let it go and let it go fast.
Yeah.
So those are the things that If I'm a betting person, I'd be betting on the player here to become better, and he will be better. And as I said, this is a guy that I think fans are going to enjoy for many years to come here in Buffalo.
Yep. Cousins, let's face it, Sabre fans, when you ask them about some of their favorite players and some of their favorite teams, one of the most popular answers all the time is the Ted Nolan hardest working team in hockey time. And that wasn't a team, Paul, filled with all-stars, or it wasn't a team that had a lot of players that scored 20, 25, 30 goals. And Cousins might not be a regular guy that scores 30 goals, but I think he might be a guy that just is so popular with fans because of his work ethic, because of his heart, because of the fact that he's definitely, not to throw this cliche out, but he'll, quote, do whatever it takes. Like, he has that mentality. Just the few interactions that I've had with him, just you can see it. I know you talk with him a lot. I mean, he's got that winner's mentality that you just gotta love.
All right, we are here at the Prospects Challenge at Harbor Center. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll throw some rapid-fire questions at Paul and Brian. I'll even join in on the discussion myself as we're continuing to get you ready for today's action between the Sabres and the Bruins. 3 o'clock face-off here at Harbor Center, and of course, the Sabres will be reporting to training camp coming up as of Wednesday, and then it all gets started from there. First preseason game is in a week and a half, and then the 2020 2021-22 season will officially get started on Thursday, October 14th against the Montreal Canadiens. Brayton Wilson here with you. Paul Hamilton, Brian Cozy along for the ride. Thanks for listening in here on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Back here at Harbor Center as we are covering the Sabres Prospects Challenge here on WGR Sports Radio 550 for you. Brayton Wilson along with Paul Hamilton and Brian Koziel for one more segment of the Sabres Roundtable before we get the action started with the second and final game of the Sabres Prospects Challenge for Buffalo against the Boston Bruins this afternoon. All right, guys, so let's get started here. Rapid fire questions. You can give as many, as little thought as you want to it. No thought to it at all. However you want to go about it, we'll do it here.
The first one is Howard Simon is old. That's the
Oh, and he's probably not even listening. He can't even defend himself.
Oh, what a cheap shot.
Question number one. Which prospect today and in this tournament should get the most attention this upcoming season from the Sabres?
Lukanen.
Paterka. I was really impressed with him yesterday.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the boat with Brian there. I really want to see how Paterka adjusts to the North American game and gets – acclimated to the AHL and how fast he can progress.
I didn't like him trying to go through. He did it more than once. Actually, he turned the puck over trying to go through three guys, and it wound up being a two-on-one the other way, and Lukanen bailed him. You're right. I loved a lot of his game. He has a little tendency that he wants to try to go through a bunch of guys in a hurry. He'll get rid of that in a hurry. They'll get rid of that from him in a hurry.
And I would have actually answered Lukanen too, but I wanted to give you a different answer. But
I think
Lukanen's going to be the story of training camp.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'll throw another one out there. I really am really interested to see how Arttu Ruotsalainen progresses in year two in North America, because I think he can make a difference in the NHL level. I think he can make the roster from day one going forward and sticking around in Buffalo. Question number two in our rapid fire session. Which prospect do you want to see make it in any NHL appearance this season? Doesn't have to be Lukanen or Paterka, but, you know, is there a prospect that you've seen here that you want to see get some sustained time in the NHL?
Maybe Quinn eventually.
Jack
Not
Quinn.
Right away. But as the year goes on and if he progresses well in Rochester, I like giving them a little bit of a, you know, if they go down and play well, giving them a little bit of a bonus and giving them a little bit of a carrot to, hey, you know, this is what it's like in the NHL.
Yep.
We saw two games from Brett Murray last year at the end of the season?
Yeah.
I think I've been intrigued. We need him to dominate in a setting like this.
Yes.
Where he should be maybe ahead of these first-year prospects.
Yep.
So I'd like to see maybe more from him and him get more than just two games next season.
I'll throw a wild card name out there, and this is a guy, it all depends if he develops like a Victor Olofsson and Arttu Ruotsalainen in his first year in Rochester. Linus Weisbach, I really want to see how he can get acclimated to the professional game right off the bat. His senior year at Wisconsin, he played extremely well, playing on a line with Cole Caulfield and producing a lot of points. He put up something like 40 points in the time that he had there, which was still very impressive. So Linus Weisbach is a guy I'll throw out there as a wild card option. Question number three, who needs to step up the most on the roster without Jack Eichel in the lineup?
Oh, there are a lot of guys.
I'll say Casey Mittelstadt.
Middlestack, Cousins.
His consistency was better in the last dozen or so games last year, but, I mean, he's going to be counted upon heavily without Eichel playing.
Center X. We don't know who Center X is going to be. So whoever winds up getting moved to center and playing there, or if they actually do get the Eichel trade made and wind up with a center, so, you know, that could be it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything like that.
I'm going to throw a name out there that I doesn't think necessarily have to step up in terms of replacing Jack Eichel, but a guy I really want to see take another step in a year or two with the Sabres is Anders Bjork. I really liked what I saw from him in his short little stint with the Sabres right after being acquired as part of the Taylor Hall trade. I want to see how he gets acclimated to a full season with the Buffalo Sabres. Question number four, who on the roster is most likely going to be moved before the trade deadline this year? I'll start.
Miller?
Yeah, Colin Miller. That's who I was going to throw out there. Guy who's on an expiring contract, the guy that probably is likely going to be moved for probably a third-round pick, I'd say maybe at best.
Fifth, sixth.
Right. Paul just gave me that look, just like, what are you saying? At best, though,
People
Paul.
People forget he was in a healthy scratch last year.
Sure.
The year. Now, the caveat to that is, was he a healthy scratch because they wanted to play Bryson and Samuelson and those guys?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would be the reason.
Every year, it seems like we think Zemgus Girgensons could get moved at the trade deadline and ends up not being, but if he comes back and looks good and looks healthy, a big body, that would definitely be, I'm sure, intriguing.
Well, he still has a year left though, on his contract.
Oh, did he say it had to have a year left on his
contract?
No,
but that's usually what happens at the
yes,
deadline.
But he
guys
be,
with expiring contracts.
Okay.
All right. Who will lead the Sabres in goals this season?
Ooh. I'll say Victor Olofsson by default. There's not many others that can score.
Yeah, but he gets a lot of his goals on the power play, and I don't know where the power play is going to be without Eichel and Reinhart.
Going to go Jeff Skinner, Paul?
That's that type of thing. I'll say Cousins.
Cousins? I'll say Olofsson as well. And we'll make this the last question since we're running short on time. Who do you believe is going to win the Stanley Cup this year? I'll say Colorado.
It's been a long time since somebody won three in a row, so I'm going to say Tampa wins three in a row.
All right. Brian?
Washington.
Washington. All right. Well, that'll do it for the Sabres Roundtable. There were a lot of things we didn't get the chance to discuss, but we'll have to save that for another day as we are getting you ready for the Sabres taking on the Boston Bruins and the Sabres Prospects Challenge. That'll be coming up next right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.